And just like that, we are on the 10th episode. I read somewhere that 90% of podcasters don't get past the third episode. So if that's true, and we're just going to say it is, I'm going to call this a win. No, but in all seriousness, I've been loving this experience so far. I really enjoy podcasting and creating longer form content, even though my solo episodes will eventually go away because I primarily want to focus on interviews. This has just been an overall great experience for me. I haven't quite gotten into the groove yet, but I'll cut myself some slack. Anyway, I'm sure you don't want to keep hearing me babble on, so let's get onto today's topic. And it's a super important one, and that has to do all with money management. This system for me has obviously evolved a lot over the years, as I used to be terrible with my money, but now I'm at a place where I've learned so much and I've created a super solid financial system for myself that I feel incredibly confident about. Being organized with your money isn't just like an income and an expense problem. It's getting a proper system in place that will allow you to keep, grow, and use your money intentionally moving forward. Let's say your car breaks down or your kid gets sick and you have to take unpaid time off. Having a solid system in place will allow you to fix or be there for your family without the financial strains that could otherwise come with it. So I'm really excited to chat more with you today in this episode about five ways how I personally manage and organize my money. All of these steps really all work together to create financial stability. So if this sounds good to you, let's get into it. The first thing we're going to chat about is something I don't think people often think about or discuss, and that is your checking account. I know, so boring, but hear me out. A checking account is actually your first step in setting yourself up for success. This ultimately should be your financial hub. This is where your income lands, where your bills get paid, and where you should be transferring money to save and invest. This sounds so simple, but so many people put little thought into this account, which often leads to living paycheck to paycheck, unnecessary fees, overdrafts, or missed payments. My biggest tip, which is something I implemented probably about 2 years ago now, and it completely changed the stress levels that I had each month, and that is creating a 1 month checking buffer, which is technically a 1 month emergency fund. Previously, I would only keep about $1,000 in my account. However, I was always waiting for that next paycheck if I had to pay any bills, or my account got dangerously close to $0 and it felt really scary. So I started digging into this online and I found a lot of advice about actually having 1 month worth of expenses in here. So I decided to start saving up for that instead of transferring money into my savings. Once I had that 1 month buffer, I have never looked back. It's so nice knowing that I'm 1 month ahead in bills just from my checking account. Not living paycheck to paycheck was the biggest weight lifted off my shoulders. Even though I had savings and I could afford emergencies, the buffer really just helped to create a sense of security. A common mistake besides not having enough money in your checking account is actually having too much money sitting in there instead of putting it to work in a savings or investment account. Some people keep their fully funded emergency fund in their checking accounts instead of moving it over into a high interest savings account so you can earn some interest while it just sits there. But we will dig into this a little bit later. So remember, your checking account isn't a place to hoard money, but it's important to have a bit of a buffer. Use this account mainly as a tool to move your money where it needs to go. When you optimize this properly, you will stop living paycheck to paycheck, you'll avoid overdraft fees, stress, and it will just keep your finances running smoothly if used properly. The second way I manage my finances is actually by using credit cards. I want to preface something first though. Please ignore this portion of the episodes if you have credit card debt. Do not use your credit card if you have credit card debt. No amount of points that you earn will outweigh the interest that you pay. Okay, so now that we have that out of the way, if used properly and responsibly, credit cards can be one of the most powerful financial tools if used correctly. But again, they can be dangerous if you're not managing them well. So let's chat about how I take advantage of using my credit cards to better my finances. I use credit cards for pretty much all of my purchases throughout the month. I do this for two main reasons. Number one, it builds my credit score. And secondly, I get points. Let's first chat about the credit score portion. Using your credit cards responsibly is a great way to build your score. And my number one rule is that I never carry a balance. What I mean by this is that I always pay off my credit card in full and I will never get charged interest. The two highest impacts of your credit score is your payment history and your credit utilization. So first, you want to ensure you never miss or have any late payments. A great way to guarantee this is setting up automatic payments. Secondly, credit utilization is essentially what percentage of your available total credit that you're using at any given time. Experts suggest that you should never use more than 30%, but I generally aim for below 5%. These things will really boost your credit score. The second reason why I use my credit card for almost all of my purchases is because of the rewards. So for me, I primarily use the Amex Cobalt, and the reason why I love this card so much is because of the high point multipliers. You get 5x the points on eats and drinks, 3x the points on streaming subscriptions, and generally the food category is one of the top ones each year, so it's great to get some points back on spending so much money there. These Amex points transfer one-to-one to Aeroplan and other airline partners, so that's what I save these points for travel. Finally, with my fiancé, we have a combined credit card where the biggest point multiplier is groceries and transit, including fuel. So this is a big category for us, and we definitely get a lot back by using this card. Having a combined card also makes our lives so much easier when it comes to sharing expenses. We put everything, like all of our US expenses, on this one card, and then we pay it in half at the end of the month. Some people prefer one credit card to keep it simple, but I do have multiple ones because they serve different purposes. And before I move on to the next segment, please remember, if you have credit card debt or you do tend to carry a balance, you'll want to skip the strategy until you can get to a point where you can use your cards responsibly. Okay, next. This tip is literally life-changing. I'm not kidding. If you take anything away from this episode, take this. If you want the biggest financial game-changing tool, you need to create sinking funds. These are separate saving pots for future expenses, both expected and unexpected. So instead of getting hit with a huge bill and scrambling to figure out how to pay for it, you've already prepared. Sounds pretty nice, right? So if you're still a touch confused, a sinking fund is money you save regularly for future expenses. Think of this as a way to prepay these expenses in small, manageable amounts rather than dealing with one big financial hit all at once. Everyone is used to buy now, pay later plans, and many easily justify those expenses. This is essentially the same thing, but we are just flipping the script. My first sinking fund was an emergency fund, and I'm sure most of you have already heard about this by now. It's a dedicated savings account that covers at least 3 months worth of expenses in case there's a loss of income. However, consider a 6 or 12 month emergency fund if you have kids, are a homeowner, or you're self-employed. The emergency fund gave me stability, but when I started introducing other funds, holy shit, did my finances change in such an amazing way. The other funds that I introduced were a vet fund and a car maintenance fund. I have this combined with my fiance. Although we have accidental pet coverage, it does not cover illnesses. So for this reason, we just save monthly towards vet expenses. This has worked amazingly well and it never hurts the wallet when we do go to the vet anymore. Then for car maintenance fund, it has been so nice to have. Oil changes, something breaks and you need a repair, you have the money stashed away ready to go. Anyone that has either a pet or a car, you need these sinking funds. Some other common funds is a travel fund, so you can book your trip without feeling guilty about it. If you have a big family or a friend group, is a gift fund perhaps needed? Annual subscriptions, home renos, or even tech upgrades are other great sinking fund options. Now you might be wondering, well, how can I keep track of all of these different accounts? Well, if you're in Canada, I can help you out. I personally use Wealthsimple Cash. It's their high interest checking account and you can open up to 8 buckets of savings. Their current interest rate starts at 2.25%, but this does vary year after year because they do change their rates when the Bank of Canada does as well. Some people like to savings hop and find the highest interest rate at the time, but for me, I don't bother. Another method you can also use is to have a high interest savings account and then use a spreadsheet to track how much is dedicated to each bucket. My biggest tip coming up with sinking funds is think about those big expenses that are a total pain in the ass when they come up. Let's choose the car, for example. Look at how much you've spent on maintenance in the past year. Let's say that's $2,000. Well, now you want to start setting aside $165 per month for that expense. Look, if you can't save for these expenses, you really can't afford them at the end of the day. So now that we've talked about savings, the next natural step is going to be talking about investments. This is an intimidating subject even for me because trust me, I'm still learning. 5-6 years ago, I knew nothing and I would quickly look away when I saw the word investing. And now I just want to dive into it and learn more. And I want you to feel the same. Look, investing is truly one of the most powerful ways to build wealth long term, especially if you're in your 20s or 30s. These are the two best decades for compound interest. A huge misconception I see online is that A, you need to know everything and do it yourself, and B, you need to have a lot of money to get started. These are both wrong. So let's break down how I approach investing, why it's important, and the common mistakes to avoid. First, I think a lot of people think saving money is enough, but the truth is it's usually not, and you're missing out on a shit ton of money if you don't invest. Investing allows you to grow your money at a rate that beats your high interest savings rates plus inflation, which is what's going to build you wealth over time. As an example, and to compare the two, let's say you saved $500 a month in that 3% high interest savings account. After 30 years, you'll have an end balance of almost $290,000, with just shy of $110,000 earned in interest. Not too shabby, right? If you were to invest this instead, the $500 a month, and assuming a 10% average stock market return following S&P 500's historical data, after 30 years, your year-end balance would be just over $1 million, with over $850,000 of this being interest. This is a little bit better. This is just a simple way for me to share the importance of investing and how vital it is for you to build wealth. As a rule of thumb, goals that are less than 5 years away, keep that in a high interest savings account or a GIC because you don't want to risk market volatility. Anything that's 5+ years away, this is when you generally want to start thinking about investing because time is on your side. The way I approach investing is that I do it for the long run. I don't plan on touching this money until way later. And for my RSPs, that won't be touched until I'm 65. I also don't overcomplicate my investments. A portion of my portfolio is managed and I again use Wealthsimple. And then for my self-directed portion, I invest in a few ETFs and individual stocks. Investing in ETFs is a low-cost way to have a diversified exposure to top company performances. This is also low maintenance and most importantly, historically, it does outperform active stock picking. I look at individual stocks as gambling and I do have a couple of them in my portfolio, but it's really just for that. It's a gamble in the long run. Maybe I'll hit the jackpot, maybe I won't. If this already sounds overwhelming to you, I'm going to try to simplify this a little bit further. And I apologize if you're not in Canada because I will be using some Canadian terms here. First, use your registered accounts to invest before opening up non-registered accounts. So you want to open up a TFSA, RRSP, or an FHSA. In these accounts, you need to invest. If you're in the States, however, similar accounts, I believe, is the Roth IRA and the 401k. If you just want it managed and you don't have a clue on which ETFs to buy, going the managed way is a great way to start. With Wealthsimple, you can open up a managed investing account for only 0.5% fee. Most big banks will charge you 2 to 4%. Then all you have to do is add your money into that account each month. They'll invest it for you and you don't have to do anything else. It's super hands-off. And just like that, you've started to invest. If you eventually want to have a self-directed investing account, you can. Start learning and open one up one day when you're ready. Take baby steps, but at least in the meantime, your money is still being invested versus it just sitting in a savings account collecting minimal interest. Common mistakes that I see is that people wait way too long. There is no reason why you can't start today, even if it's just $50 a month to spare. Another thing that I see is that people panic when the market is dropping. Remember that market downturns are normal. If you're investing in the long run, you can have years where you see no growth or negative growth, but you can also have years where you see 10, 15, 20% growth or more. When I see the market doing crappy, I actually see this as an opportunity to buy more ETFs and more stocks at a discount. At the end of the day, those people who stay invested and continue to invest will typically see their portfolios grow more over time. So my biggest tip, my friends, is just to start investing. Even if you don't know a lot right now, your future, you will thank you. So finally, the last way I manage and organize my money, which in my opinion is the key to making all those other things happen that we've talked about today, and that is my favorite topic, budgeting. Budgeting and tracking your spending isn't about restricting yourself. It's about giving yourself the financial freedom to spend on things you actually want to spend your money on. It actually allows you to spend your money. A properly made budget should align with your goals and spending that brings you joy. If you have debt and are serious about paying it off, it will expose the areas that you can spend less in so you can tackle and pay off your debts faster. Trust me, this stuff really works. I actually just got a message from one of my followers that had bought my budget template back in October, and with some personalized one-on-one help with me, she managed to clear $16,000 worth of credit card debt in a matter of months. Of course, this is a lot, and obviously, depending on your income and expenses, the timeline will completely depend. But the reason why she was able to make progress so quickly was because she was finally ready to pay it off, which meant that she had to make some short-term sacrifices. Budgeting for me back in the day sounded overwhelming, but when I was finally ready to take control of my financial life about 6 years ago, I knew this was something I had to do. I had tried a few apps, but what I really ended up enjoying was a spreadsheet because it gave me a snapshot of my income, spending, and of course, at the time, my debt payoff progress. I found a system that worked for me, and each year I continuously improved that system to what it is today. So if you're in a spot where you have no idea where your money is going, it simply just disappears. You just need to get in tune with your money. If you're not, it's so easy to overspend, struggle to pay off debt or save, and it can feel like you're living paycheck to paycheck even when you have a really good income. A budget will fix this. I have some quick tips for you when it comes to budgeting. First, I use a zero-based budget approach. This is also how my template is built. Essentially, what this means is that every single dollar that comes in has a job. So whether it go towards necessities, debts, savings, or fun, you allocate essentially every single penny and create a plan for it for the month. Next, I like to automate my bills so I never have to think about it and I will never miss it. Then for savings and investments, I don't wait to see what's left at the end of the month. Instead, I flip this priority and I pay myself first by budgeting this before I think about spending on anything fun. I would also use the same approach for debt payment. Lastly, I track my spending. And I think that this is definitely the hardest thing for people to really get into because yes, I know it sounds tedious at first, but this portion is so important because a budget can change and things can come up. So checking in weekly to see if you're on track with your plan is vital so you can make adjustments if needed. Tracking your spending really just holds you accountable to the plan and budget that you created for yourself. Like I said, I do this weekly and it takes me no more than 5 to 10 minutes. So remember, when it comes to budgeting, it really isn't meant to be the strict way of managing your money. It just gives you the financial clarity and control that you need to make your goals happen. At the end of the day, when you know exactly where your money is going, you can spend your money guilt-free on things that you love, save and invest consistently, and it truly helps with financial stress and anxiety that can come with it. All right, friends. So I hope that today's episode gave you some inspiration on how to manage and organize your money. I think it's important that you find a solid system that works for you that will eventually become second nature. And maybe if you're crazy like me, it will actually become fun. The key thing here is keeping it simple and consistent because having a clear structure in place for your finances will help you build wealth, reduce stress, and reach your financial goals even faster that right now might feel super far out of reach. A quick recap of the 5 financial tools that I use that have completely leveled up my finances. First is my checking account, which I use as my financial hub to pay bills and transfer money to savings and investments. Secondly is my credit cards. This is a powerful tool when you can use it responsibly. Third, and the life hack that everyone needs to know about, seriously, tell your friends, sinking funds. This is where you can plan ahead for irregular expenses or financial surprises that will keep you from dipping into your savings or worse, investments. Fourth, investments again. This is the fastest way to grow wealth, start as early as you can, and stay consistent. Finally, budgeting. This will be the foundation to make all of those other 4 things happen. This is your accountability piece. Remember that personal finance isn't about perfection. It's about learning and making small strides towards what you want it to eventually look like. If you enjoyed today's episode, be sure to let me know, and I'm looking forward to chatting with you in the next one.
Bye.